الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم. Welcome to our viewers, whether you are joining us on Zoom. Facebook, I believe, is having some technical difficulties, or YouTube. We are in the virtual company of Dr. Siddiqui. Dr. Siddiqui, welcome to you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, whenever we begin to start a new Islamic year, we immediately think about that historic journey, the Hijrah. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his trusted friend, his constant companion, Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, both set out together on a difficult and dangerous journey. But what was happening in Makkah before the Hijrah? Dr. Siddiqui, explain to us the events and the situation in Makkah before the Hijrah. How did the circumstances become so desperate that Allah's Messenger had to leave his beloved city? Share the backdrop of those circumstances, if you will. Paint a picture for us.
Thank you. Yeah, first of all, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. So we are in the year 1442 of the Hijrah of the Prophet and just a few things that I would like to say about this counting of the year. It started in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, because they had no uniform calendar how to refer to the year. What happened in what year, they did not know. They used to do that by some events, such as, you know, Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. When the elephant army of Abraha came to attack Mecca, they called that the year of the elephant. Or when the Prophet's wife and uncle died, that year was known as Amul Huzn, the year of the grief. So that's the way how the certain important events happen, and they will date the time from that event. But then in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the Islamic state expanded and a large area came under the Islamic rule. So the question was, how should we use our calendar? Should we use the calendar that was the Gregorian calendar, something like that? Although the Gregorian calendar was not final also at that time. So question was how we should use. So Sahaba, they sat down and they decided together. Some suggested we start counting our calendar from the birth of the Prophet, just as Christians do. Some say that we should count calendar from the date that the Prophet received the revelation at the age of 40, 611. The Prophet ﷺ received the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some suggested that date, some suggested the date of Battle of Badr, which was a very decisive battle. And some suggested the time of the victory of Mecca. That means the Prophet ﷺ returned to Mecca and recaptured the city of Mecca. All these suggestions came. But then the consensus was that let us use the time of Prophet's migration, Hijrah, from Mecca to Medina. At that time, Medina was known as Yathrib. So from Mecca to Yathrib, which became after the Hijrah, became known as Medina, Medina to Nabi, the Medina city of the Prophet. So the question is, what led to that? Why the Prophet and his companions had to leave Mecca? Well, you know that Rasulullah ﷺ received the message of Allah. The message was the message of Tawheed. There is only one God, and the Arabs used to have many gods. They used to worship idols. And so many of them, they did not like that. The Prophet ﷺ preached his message for the first 3 years quietly among his close friends and family members. And some of them accepted Islam, Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to declare the message openly to public, and the Prophet presented the message to the public, and there was opposition. The Arabs, they did not like that. They say that he's changing the religion of our forefathers. He's saying that Lat and Manat and Uzza, all of these are not gods and goddesses. They are just something that made up by the people. And the real God is one God. So they kind of, and also he criticized some of their practices. They used to bury their daughters alive, Ba'dul Banat, as we call it, little daughters when they were born, they used to bury them. And they used to consider it a shameful thing to have daughters. And they used to commit sins. They used to drink, they used to gamble, they used to take away the orphans' property. Widows were not respected and honored. All of these kind of things. That's why the whole period is known as Jahiliya, the period of ignorance. So when he preached the message of Tawheed, the message of prayers and purity and goodness, some people liked it and they accepted it. And then some others they did not like. He also criticized the discrimination based on color, based on gender, the mistreatment of the slaves. He spoke about all those things. And so social reform that the Prophet ﷺ wanted, religious reform the Prophet ﷺ wanted, and they did not like that. So they started, some people accepted the message, and those who accepted the message, especially those who were from the slave background, and those who were young people, they were persecuted. And when the persecution increased, then in the fifth year of Prophet's declaration of his message, the Prophet allowed his companions to migrate to Abyssinia, Habasha. That was the first hijrah. And Habasha was only for a small number of people went there, about 80 people. It was really an asylum, taking asylum in another country. The Prophet ﷺ told them that Habasha has a king, Najashi, and he is a fair-minded person, a just person, and you will not be mistreated in his land. So they had a system, they had a government, they had a king. So the idea was not to take over, the idea was to just to find asylum and live peacefully in that area. And after some time, some of them returned to Mecca. Some of them stayed a little longer, but some of them returned to Mecca. The people of Mecca, then they found that Muslims migrated from Mecca to Abyssinia. They were very upset, very angry. And then they decided to have a social boycott for the Muslims who were in Mecca against the Prophet ﷺ and his family and other people. And they decided that nobody should buy anything from them, nobody should sell anything to them, nobody should talk to them. So it was excommunication, it was sanctions against this community. And that continued for about 3 years. It was a very difficult time. Some people, starved to death because of that. They did not find food, nothing. Although some good-minded people, fair-minded people, they used to give them a little something that could make them survive. And this 3 months of difficulty, 3 years of difficulty, made the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, Khadija, very, very weak. She got sick. And also his uncle Abu Talib got very sick, and the embargo, the sanctions were lifted, but they died after that. So that was the year of the grief for the Prophet. After that, the Prophet went to Taif to seek help of the people of Taif and to give them his message, the message of Tawheed. But the leaders of Taif, they refused to listen to him, and actually they asked some young people to go and throw stones upon him. And the Prophet ﷺ returned very disheartened. And he was in Mecca looking for some place where he could go and where he find a good place to present his message and organize life for the people. During that time, he met some people from Yathrib. Yathrib is about 300 miles north of Mecca, which is now known as Medina. So this group of people from Yathrib came, and the Prophet met them just by chance and spoke to them about himself. He spoke about his message. They liked it, and immediately they accepted Islam. Immediately they said, yes, we've been hearing about from our Jewish neighbors. They were talking about this. Somebody is going to appear towards the end of days, and maybe this is the Prophet. So they accepted the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, we are going to go back to our city and speak to other people. And we will bring some other people. And they did that. They present the message of Islam to their people, and many of them accepted Islam, and they wanted to come and meet the Prophet ﷺ. So that's called the Bay'atul Aqaba As-Saniya, the pledge at Aqaba, the second pledge at Aqaba. So here we have about 75 or 80 people. They met the Prophet ﷺ, and they listened to him, and they pledged their allegiance to him and accepted Islam, and they said, we'll support Islam. They support you. And actually they said, we invite you to come to our city. You are having difficulty here, come to our city. Let your followers come to our city. We'll respect everybody. We'll provide them whatever we can provide. We'll protect them as we protect our families. So you are very welcome, come. And Rasulullah was very pleased with this kind of invitation, with this openness, with generosity of the people of Yathrib. And he said to his Sahaba, go, migrate to Yathrib. And many of them, they migrated. But he himself did not go, because he was waiting for the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet is commissioned by Allah to do, so he cannot move without permission. Like Yunus alayhi salam, he left his city without the permission. So you know the story, what happened to Yunus alayhi salam. So Prophet ﷺ wanted to follow the instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he waited. And meanwhile, when the people of Mecca, they saw that the people are leaving Mecca and going to Yathrib north, they become upset. Not because they liked Muslim or they wanted them to be with them, but they did not want them to go somewhere and become strong and become organized. They were afraid that they will go in another place and maybe they become, collect all the people, all the followers, and then Prophet Muhammad joined them, and then they become a strong group, and other tribes in the neighborhood will become part of that. And Medina was, Yathrib was on the way to their caravan route from Mecca to Syria. And the people of Mecca were business people. They used to take caravans for trade purpose from Mecca to Yathrib, from Mecca to Syria. And they used to stop at Yathrib, have some food and some water or something for their camels, and they continue and sometimes even sell things and purchase things from there. So it was a very important station where they stop. So they did not like to see an opposing group, a hostile group towards them, or they are the one who are hostile to them in that place. So they were very concerned about that. So they thought that the Prophet would also go, and they had to stop him, and they would not let him go to Yathrib. So they sat down and had consultation among themselves what to do with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَيَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ. When it is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, that the disbelievers were making a plot to either arrest you, that means the Prophet, or to kill you, or to expel you. So in the seerah, if we learn the details, that this group of people who sat down, these are the elders of Makkah, these are the leaders of Makkah, and they sat down and somebody said, we should arrest him, put him in a house arrest in some place. And somebody said, but how long are you going to do that? Maybe some other people will come and release him. So then they said, let us expel him to make him blindfolded and put him on a camel or on a horse and take him to a different direction. Not towards north, not towards Medina, but to south or east or west somewhere. Take him and drop him in that place, far away, that so he will not know where he is and he will not be able to go to Medina. So, but then somebody said, well, this man is very influential. Wherever he would be, he would create followers because the people will follow him. And you know, very soon he may come back. And this will happen. So somebody said, well, why don't you kill him? And but then they said, if you kill him, his family, his clan, they will become against us. And we'll have a civil war in our city. And we don't want to have that. So we have to do something else. They said, well, this is the only way. What we should do, we should collect from various families of Makkah, we should have one person or two person from each family. And they all gather together and surround his house, and together they attack him. So that all people, all families join in killing him. And then his clan, Bani Hashim, they will not be able to fight everybody. So what we'll do, we'll collect some money and give them. So that will be blood money that we'll be giving to Bani Hashim. And in this way, we'll not have a fight and we'll also get rid of him. So with this plot, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ, they were making a plot and Allah has his own secret plan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they decided to go to surround his house during the night and they would attack him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet ﷺ that this is what is going to happen and this is what they are trying to do, and asked him to leave his house. The Prophet ﷺ was very concerned that because he had some valuables that belonged to his enemies, because he was an honest person, he was a trustworthy person, so some of the valuables were in his house. And these are the amanat. The Prophet did not want to leave abandoning their amanat. Even though they were his enemies, but he was concerned about that. So he asked Ali, his cousin, and he asked him, stay in my house, sleep in my bed. And in the morning, return those things to the people. And he said that Allah is protecting me and Allah will protect you. So don't worry, sleep. And Ali said, I had a very comfortable sleep because of the assurance that the Prophet gave him. And then the Prophet quietly left the house. And he recited some verses from the Quran. And then that is... and say that that is they will not be able to see, and they were sleeping because that group of people, they came, they were in sleep, and the Prophet quietly left and went to his friend Abu Bakr's house, and he told him that Allah has allowed me to migrate also. Now Abu Bakr said, but what about me? Because he was He wanted very much to accompany the Prophet. You will be my companion. And Abu Bakr was very happy, and so happy that out of his happiness, the tears came in his eyes. So the Prophet and Abu Bakr, that's how they left. So that's what's happening in Mecca. That was a short description of the situation. And that's what made the Prophet leave the city of Mecca. He loved Mecca. Actually, when he was leaving the city of Mecca, he looked at it. He says, Mecca, I love you. And you are the city of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. I would not leave the city unless your people is the one who are making me leave. So they are the one who pushed him. They are the one who akhrajuhu. They are the one who expelled him from there because of their behavior, because of their way of treating him. And that's why he had to leave and go and make the hijrah, make this migration.
Thank you. Dr. Siddiqui, explain to us, we hear...
That's a little long answer for you, was it?
Thank you. Talk to us about this concept of hijrah, its relevance.
Yeah, thank you. Hijrah means, hijrah has two meanings. One is the moving from one place to another, migration. From your place, from your town, from your native place, you go to some other place, it's called migration. So immigration, emigration, all of this, you have that from that hijrah. Another meaning of hijrah is metaphorical meaning, and that is turning away from someone, turning away from something, some action, or some person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that wasbir ala ma yaquluna wahjurhum hajran jameela. That means your enemies, the people who are opposing you, you be patient on what they are saying and leave them nicely. Wahjurhum, and don't pay attention to them, boycott them, don't speak to them. So that's hajr. So hajr is leaving someone or leaving something. The Prophet said in one of the hadiths, Al-Muhajir man hajara manahallahu an. Muhajir is the person who leaves what Allah has forbidden. So Muhajir is not only an immigrant who leaves the city, but if someone leaves something, bad things, leaves bad habits, leaves sin, leaves and does something good, that's also a kind of hijrah. So the hijrah in the metaphorical sense and hijrah in the physical sense, spatial sense, that from space, from place to place. And hijra is a spiritual concept. You have in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam, inni muhajirun ila rabbi. I'm making a hijra for my Lord, towards my Lord. So Ibrahim alayhi salam left his home, his native land, and migrated, and from there, from Ur, he went to Jerusalem, and then from there he went to Egypt, and then he came towards to Mecca. All of these different journeys that he did, that was the hijrah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the hijrah of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam made hijrah also. He left Egypt to Midian. Stayed there for some time, and then after that he returned. So that was the hijrah. But Prophet ﷺ's hijrah was a unique hijrah. His hijrah was not just going and taking a refuge in some place or taking a shelter in some place. The Prophet ﷺ, when he made his hijrah, he made the hijrah to do some work for the cause. And that's why he became busy immediately after arriving in Medina. He became busy in reforming the society, making the society a peaceful society, a good society. So we can talk about that, inshallah. So are you here? You have any questions after that? Or otherwise I can continue talking about what the Prophet ﷺ did when he made the hijrah.
Yes, please continue. Talk to us a little bit about what were some of the immediate challenges in Medina. And then, of course, the...
The Hijra of the Prophet was in the year 622. That means he was in Mecca 40 years. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed him as his prophet. And then he preached the message for 13 years in Mecca. From 611 to 622, about 13 years. And then in 622, he migrated. He left Mecca towards Yathrib. And when the Prophet arrived there, the city became known after that as Madinatul Nabi, the city of the Prophet. Madina has other names also. It is called Taiba. It's called Darul Hijra, the place of Hijra. It is also the nice city, good city, Taiba on Taba. So these are the names of the city. It is the city in which there were some Jewish tribes were living. And then, of course, the Arabs, Aus and Khazraj, were the main tribes of Arabs. They were there. And they had difficult relations with each other. So there was a lot of intertribal wars, I mean, fightings and commotions and difficulties. So the leaders of Medina, they were very concerned about that. That's why when they came to meet the Prophet in Mecca, they said, "We are having a trouble in our city. And we hope that you will bring peace in our city. You hope you will, reconcile people." And so Prophet ﷺ came to Medina while there was clashes, there were difficulties and problems between Aus and Khazraj. And the people of Medina, especially the Arab tribes of Medina, they appointed him as the leader, the head who can resolve their problem. So Rasulullah helped the people bring peace in that city. And when he arrived there, he stayed in at the guest with somebody at Abu Ayyub Ansari's home. And very close to his home, he purchased a piece of land. And he himself paid for that. And it was that land that was made after that a masjid. So Masjid al-Nabi, the Masjid of the Prophet was built on that land. And the Prophet himself were carrying the bricks, and Sahaba, companions of the Prophet, with him. And they put a nice, humble, simple structure. That was the first masjid. So the first thing that he did in Medina was to establish a masjid. And in the masjid also, he at one of the corners of the masjid, he had a school for children, for young people, for his companions. I mean, anybody who wanted to come and learn, they used to come to that school. And the Prophet was their teacher. He used to teach them. He used to teach them Quran, he used to teach them the message of Islam, Islamic ethics. Some people used to stay there day and night. And some people of Medina used to bring some food for them, or some fruits for them, dates or grapes. And they used to take that. Otherwise, they would just spend their time in learning and getting education. So that's why a large number of people became the leaders of the community by attending the classes there in that masjid. So establishing the masjid, establishing the school, these are some of the very important things that was done in the city of Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ also gave them a document that was prepared, and that was called Mithaq Medina. Medina Covenant. Medina Covenant was an agreement that the Prophet ﷺ gave them. And this agreement was that is the Jewish people, the pagans, the Mushrikeen, and the Muslims. So these are the three groups. They all have to live together in peace. And if there is any dispute, they will bring the dispute to the Prophet for the resolution. And the Jewish people will be free to practice their religion. They will not be forced to convert to Islam. They can live by their faith if they want to. Or if they want to join Islam, they can join Islam. So Mithaq Madina was a wonderful document, and we still have that. It's a historic document. Many historians, Muslims and non-Muslims, recognize the authenticity of this document. And it is available in the books of Seerah of the Prophet. And one of the great scholars of India, Dr. Hamidullah, he wrote a book, and he called that the first written constitution in the world. This was a constitution for the city-state of Medina. So Rasulullah brought the people together, brought the people and gave them the way to live together in peace and harmony. As long as the people lived in peace and harmony, they were there. But when the trouble came and some of them, they turned away from that, then of course they were asked to leave. And not only that, but the Prophet also made sure the city is clean. It is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari that when these people came to Medina, some of the Sahaba became sick. They had fever. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sick. Bilal radiallahu anhu was sick. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Prophet's wife, she said that she went to see her father, Abu Bakr, and he was, she had a very a heavy fever. And he was thinking that he may not survive, he may not live. So he was saying things in his fever. And then she went to see Abu Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Bilal also had a fever. And Bilal was longing for the city of Mecca. And he was saying that, may Allah curse Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, these are the leaders. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf was his master who used to persecute him when he accepted Islam. So let's say, may Allah have a curse on these people, because they are the one who made us leave our city and come to the city of Waba, of the city of pandemic or epidemic. So he said, this is the city of Waba. And Aisha says, we came to Medina and it was Bahia Oba Ardilla. It was the city that's full of diseases. It was a unclean city. And the Sahaba came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ asked them to clean the city, and also he made dua. He said, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-Madina kama habbabta ilayna Makkah. O Ashad, Allah, make Medina beloved to us as you have made Makkah beloved to us, or even more. Make Medina even more beloved to us than Makkah. And then he said, oh Allah, barik lana fi muddiha wa fi sa'iha. Oh Allah, bless us in its food, in its measurements. And Allah, sahiha lana, and make the city of Medina a healthy city. Sahiha lana, and remove its waba from there, and remove its diseases from the city. And he asked the Sahaba to make the city clean. So the city was cleaned, and then he asked them to cultivate the land. A lot of land was uncultivated. Cultivate the land, and if you cultivate some vacant land, it will become yours. So many people became involved in that cultivation, and he helped them to and asked them to dig wells. It is mentioned that there were 50 wells that were prepared during that time. So there was enough good water, clean water in the city. And also schools were established for the education of young people. One of the scholars said that there were 9 schools that were established in the time of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. There was the Prophet ﷺ also encouraged them to do business, agriculture and business as well, trade. And so they had enough food for themselves, and not only for themselves, but wherever there was a need in the neighboring towns and neighboring villages, they used to supply them and help them with food and other things. One amazing thing that happened at that time, that is 1400 years ago, that is the Prophet encouraged to put street lights. There were no street lights in any place, in any city, neither Europe nor in the eastern cities, major cities. They had no street lights. The street lights were in Medina. And that was the first city that started the street lights. And it was actually, we call Medina, Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, the city of light. And it was really physically city of light, not only spiritually city of light, but city of light, even physical way, city of lights. So the Hijrah brought change. Hijrah brought development. Hijrah brought progress and peace. That's what that is the legacy of Hijrah. And the Muslims, wherever they go, the immigrants, they go, they should try to see what we can do to make the place a better place. Not just take advantage of the place, not just enjoy the place, but rather see what we can do to make the city a place, a better place. Physically and economically and educationally and morally and spiritually, in every way, we should try to do that. That is the spirit of Hijrah, and that's why it's a very, very important event. And when we start the year of Hijrah, we should start with this understanding, with this spirit, that we have to learn from this. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
Dr. Siddiqui, did Medina, life in Medina remain peaceful? What were some of the challenges in protecting Medina?
Challenges came also from, some of the challenges are also from within. There were some people who were not very happy. There were some hypocrites who kind of looking that they would have their leadership rather than the Muslims have the leadership. So they opposed the Prophet secretly. They called themselves Muslim, but really they were not Muslims. So these are called Munafiqeen. Some Jewish tribes were jealous, and they did not want to see the progress because they had their own vested interests, and they felt that it was threatened by the coming of Islam, by the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. So they conspired, made the conspiracies with the people of Mecca. And people of Mecca also, they did not want to see stability in that area, as I said before, because they didn't want the strength of Islam, and they didn't want to see that their caravan trade interrupted. So they attacked. They attacked. And they had several attacks. And then one of the major battles that took place was the Battle of Badr, which was in the second year of Hijrah. Just in the second year of Hijrah. And Muslims at that time were very small in number. They did not have many horses, many camels. But the Prophet ﷺ told them that they should stand up and defend themselves. So there were only 313 people. And an army of 1,000 people came from Mecca, well equipped. And in the area of Badr, they confronted each other, and within a few hours they were able to defeat this army. And so that was the first victory, and that's why the day of Badr is known as the day of Al-Furqan, Yom Al-Furqan, Yom Al-Taqal Jam'an. It was a decisive day, and that battle actually decided the fate of Islam and Muslims in that area. So So it was a very, very important battle. Next day again they came. I mean, next year they came again after that. In the third year of Hijrah, they came and they came all the way to Medina. And that is known as the Battle of Uhud. And that was, that battle was fought near the mountain of Uhud, which is just outside the city of Medina. And there the battle took place. And it was difficult. In the beginning, it was almost like a defeat. And the enemy were going to overcome, but then the Muslims stood and defended the city and they defended their faith. So that was the Battle of Uhud. And after the Battle of Uhud, then a few years later they came and they attacked again. And that was known as the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Ditches. So these are challenges that were there in that. And after the Battle of Khandaq, Muslims were able to defeat this Meccan group. And then after that, there was some peace, some relaxation. And there was some other struggle that happened after that.
Dr. Siddiqui, you mentioned the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Medina. What is the status of Medina? What place does it have? What place should it have in the heart of the Muslims?
Yeah, this is one of the very important cities of Islam. These are the two cities, Mecca and Medina, that are known as Al-Haramain Sharifain, the noble sanctuary, the noble sanctuary. And of course, we have a third city, which is Sura city of Jerusalem, the city of many prophets of Allah. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تشدوا الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد. You should go to visit the sacred journey with the intention of sacred journey to these three masajid. Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Madina, and the Masjid Jerusalem. And the prayer in the Masjid of Masjid al-Haram is like 100,000 prayers anywhere else. And the prayers in the Masjid of the Prophet is like 1,000 prayers. And the prayers in the Masjid of Jerusalem also has a great reward and great blessing. So that's why when we go to Hajj, we go to Mecca. Hajj is performed in Mecca and around Mecca. But also we love to go to Medina. And Muslims love the city of Medina. The love of the city of Medina, there are thousands and thousands of poems and song for the praise of the Medina. And especially the song that the children of Medina, they sang at the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, Tala al-Badru alayna, min saniyat al-wada'. The Prophet ﷺ, when he entered the city of Medina, the children of Medina, they sang, the moon has shined upon us from the mountains of Wada'. Wajaba shukru alayna, ma da'a lillahi da'a. That is, we have to be thankful to Allah. And we should continue thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. So that's the love of the city of Medina. And then the people have, the Prophet ﷺ, when he died, he was buried there. So in his masjid, and one of the corners of the masjid, the side of the masjid, they have the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, which is called Al-Rawda Al-Mutahara. And that was his house where he was. He used to, this was the one of the apartments of the Prophet ﷺ there, and connected to the masjid. And so he died in that apartment, and he was buried there. So his grave is there. And so this whole area is so sacred, so blessed, and so beautiful.
Thank you. May Allah call us again and again to Mecca and Medina. Inshallah. Dr. Siddiqui, thank you for this timely reminder and very vivid message and description of this historical backdrop. I don't see any questions at this time. So just on this beautiful note, if we may end and join you for a closing dua.
May Allah bless you all. May Allah bless everyone. Keep us always on the right path. Love the city of Mecca, the city of Medina, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the city of Jerusalem and the people who live there. especially our Palestinian brothers and sisters. May Allah remove their pain and their difficulties and their suffering. So we pray for all people, inshallah. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this year, the year 1442, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this year the year of blessing. Remove this pandemic from us, COVID-19, that occupied the humanity almost the whole last year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this year the year of health and happiness and peace and security. Remove the difficulties of those who are suffering in Kashmir. Remove the difficulty of those who are suffering in China, Uyghur people, suffering of the people of Burma, Rohingya people. May Allah remove their suffering and suffering the people in other places, wherever they have a difficulty, in Yemen and Syria and other places. May Allah bring Muslims to the path of faith and righteousness and goodness, so they live in peace and harmony and give this message to the world, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك خير هذا العام خير هذا العام وخير ما فيه ونعوذ بك من شر هذا العام وشر ما فيه. اللهم إنا نسألك خيره وخير ما بعده. Allah, we pray to you to give us the good things in this coming year and save us from the bad things in this year. And Allah, give us rizqan hasana, good provision, and keep us and our families safe and keep us on the right path. Rabbi Rahman wa Taqabbal Rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khari khalqih Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi wa atba'ihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Shukran. May Allah bless you.
May Allah bless you, Dr. Siddiqui. For those of you who tried to tune in to Facebook, we did have some technical difficulties, but the entire recording will be posted for you shortly. This is Sabiha wishing you a peaceful, safe evening. Good evening, everyone.